This is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat is Into the Calderon site manager and journalist at As English, Robbie Dunn. Robbie Dunn is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, in which we discuss how awesome, electrifying, and scintillating Atletico were in Azerbaijan on Wednesday. I'm just kidding. Atletico were not good and drew 0-0 with Karabag in Baku. For the first time in the Diego Simeone era, Atletico's chances of qualifying for the Champions League knockout stages are in peril. We'll talk about if Atletico really will miss out on the Champions League last 16, why it appears, once again, that Atleti has stagnated under Diego Simeone's management, and possible solutions for saving Atleti's Champions League season and their season at large as we approach the end of October. Some of those solutions could feasibly be enacted as soon as Sunday's game against Celta Vigo. Atleti traveled to Balaidos in desperate need of 3 points, but a Celta team scoring a lot of goals won't make it easy for them. Before we continue, subscribe and listen to Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes iTunes. If you are someone who prefers to listen to your podcasts on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. Helps get more eyes and ears on the program. In addition, patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat is the place to be. If you are interested in contributing to the show, you can learn all about the exclusive benefits being a Colt Gennaro Chat patron offers, including early access to select episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat, behind-the-scenes images and video of the podcasting process, and lots more. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. Head over there to learn more. We'll be back with Robbie Dunn after this.
We do the live feeds for in us, like, and my boss was just saying, like, listen. But no, I was the one that actually said it to him. I said, like, we did a couple of Atletico games, and I was like, look, it's just no one cares. And he's like, yeah, I know. So I was just like, no one, even no one, like, there could be a big game, Atletico playing someone, I don't know who, Sevilla or someone, no one cares. No, like, it's just not fun to watch them at the moment. Like, it's really not.
Yeah. Yeah, yesterday I wanted to gouge my eyes out with a butter knife. But we'll talk about all the awesomeness that's going on in Atletico world in just a minute. But first, I guess I'm going to call this section of the pod Jeremy's Book Club, because I had you in on a couple weeks ago. He was talking about hijacking La Liga. Now I have you on, and you too have a new book centered on Rayo Vallecano.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so I moved over here last September, and I had the idea, based on Ewan's book, to write my own book, and I was in contact with Ewan and things like that, and being in Madrid, I figured I couldn't really add too much to what's been written about Real Madrid and that kind of thing, and also with Atletico, because I wanted to kind of get the intersection between interesting and accessible, and also Rayo were just such an interesting club that I figured I'd give writing a book about that a go. I'd never written a book before. Even in journalism school, you don't really get taught these kinds of things, so it's kind of a learning experience as I was going along. So a lot of the book is kind of about me. Well, no, not about me writing the book, but there is parts of kind of discovering this new thing, and like, I want the reader to kind of discover it along with me, like, you know, because some of the people I interviewed have written books themselves and things, and I discussed it with them just at the end, kind of not off the record, but just not really in relation to my book. But they were saying, like, that newness is really a selling point, because the reader probably doesn't know much either, so it's kind of like the two of you are going on this kind of journey together. So that's the story. Yeah,
that's great. Working Class Heroes is the name of your book, and is it out yet?
It is out, yeah. It's not in the States, actually, because I think it's not released until January the 1st in the States on Amazon.com. But if you go on to Amazon.co.uk, I believe you can get it, or bookdepository.co.uk, I believe, and you can get it directly from Pitch. You can find a link directly from Pitch Publishing's website.
Beautiful. Working Class Heroes out in the States in January for our stateside listeners. Can't wait to read it, man.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. So now we return to Atletico. Everything is just so good right now with Atletico, right, Robbie? Everything's going so well. Everything's hunky-dory. They're scoring loads of goals. They're playing great football, right? This is the same team we're talking about, right?
Yeah. I can nearly feel the sarcasm coming through my screen here.
This is how I hide my feelings. Oh, through sarcasm.
But no, it's poor. Yeah.
Yesterday was the low point. It's got to be.
Yeah, that was the nadir. But this has kind of happened to Atletico a couple of times, and Felipe Luis kind of touched on it when he said that we've come back from these situations before, where he said that there's a lot of negativity and pessimism outside of the dressing room, but not inside it. He said that we always respond to these situations, and we've been in this position before, which is great, and it's a great trait to have, but it's also not necessarily a good thing that they keep having to fight themselves out of these corners that they're getting themselves into. I think that under Simeone this tends to happen. They it's like they almost stagnate as a team, and they need to. It's kind of like Graham Hunter was saying on his podcast the other day about Luis Suarez needing to, an enemy, needing someone to fight against, needing that aggression and that conflict. And Atletico, when you think they're about to maybe step up to the plate and move it into the next gear, they kind of stagnate a little bit and start struggling for goals, and it's worrying. Like first Diego Simeone and his career went beyond Atletico, and I just worry that he doesn't know how to set up a team attacking wise.
Yeah, I think that's a very legitimate concern at this point, right? You and I have both written about this on the site, about the evolution of Atletico into Atletico 2.0, Simeone trying different formations, trying different tactics, then going away from them and going back to what he knows best, then trying it again and going away from it. And this latest lull, I guess you could call it, started after the Sevilla game, when Atleti started the season great. They were very convincing over Sevilla, and then, you know, the loss against Chelsea, the draw against Leganés, the draw with Barca, now this draw in Carabag, which this to me was worse than when Atleti went to Astana 2 years ago. Because Astana just parked the bus pretty much. Carabag could have gone and won this game. That's how bad it was.
Yeah. And they actually looked quite dangerous on the break. No, definitely. I mean, and yeah, we've spoken about this and written about this, that Atletico or Simeone has. It started out that Atletico were the underdog for the first couple of years, and teams came out and attacked against them, thought they could get a point or 3 points against them, and figured they'd have a go while they were at it and hope for the best. Then they realised that Atletico were one of the top three, and they were actually, after breaking the duopoly, they had hijacked La Liga, we'll say.
Yeah.
And teams started saying, okay, we're going to sit back. And then we saw a load of stalemates, and it was like, okay, now is the time for Atletico to evolve, and now is the time for Simeone to push his sides forward, reevaluate what's going on, and maybe give this side a new look, a fresh look. He was forced into that at times, but it always seemed reactionary. It always seemed it was a reaction to a bad result, or to a draw, or to a boring game, or to them not being able to find goals. So he changed it. He changed to a 4-3-3. He changed to more attacking style, play more attacking players, give youth the chance, play as faster players, and then all of a sudden things would start kind of turning eventually, slowly but surely. And then it's almost like this innate sense of paranoia, the same way as Jose Mourinho or someone has that. It's this innate sense of paranoia, this kind of they don't feel comfortable when they're exposed. They yep. revert back to that same style. And that's what we see with Atletico, and it's been back and forth like that now for the last couple of years. And player development has suffered. Some of the younger players coming in, not given chances. He reverts back to the old guard. He's worn a lot of, I won't say he's worn a lot of them down, but a lot of those guys are past their peak, and it's time to maybe start phasing some of those guys out. And it hasn't really happened. He has done it a little bit, but it hasn't really happened. Player development has struggled. Some of the top stars have struggled. Like Antoine Griezmann hasn't been. I mean, when you look at Griezmann now, and you mention, don't even talk to me about 200 million. When you mention 100 million and Antoine Griezmann right now, you're thinking, who would be silly enough to pay that much money for him? So their superstars have struggled. And then the vibe around the place kind of struggled, has suffered a little bit, I suppose, with the way things have gone and the way that they're playing.
Yeah, with Griezmann, that's kind of the first guy I wanted to talk about, because he had been battling the flu earlier in the week. There were doubts that he would even play against Karabag. Ended up playing, played all 90 minutes. Only had one really good chance, though, at the end of the first half. What's going on with Griezmann? Is he too... He's too isolated. I think we know that. But is it more Griezmann's doing, or is it Simeone's doing?
I'd say it's the latter, definitely. I'm not that confident. I wouldn't say definitely, but it is the latter. It's also the fact that Simeone doesn't have options, and Griezmann's not that guy to be the number nine. He's just not. He can't be that number nine, and they're crying out for Diego Costa at the moment, which we know, but Griezmann's playing too far away from goals. When you think about the goals he's scored, I remember a bicycle kick against Real Sociedad. He scored another one against Celta Vigo at the start of last year. I mean, I can't even remember him being in a good enough position now to score one of those goals. Like I was looking up earlier just in preparation for this podcast, like that I think he had 3 touches inside the penalty area, and Gamero added 2. Your 2 most attacking players, and they got 5 or I think it was 6 touches inside the box, and they're pulling themselves further away from goals to get involved. And it's like with the likes of Diego Costa, he will play on the last defender's shoulder, like dragging the game, spreading the whole thing out. Like he needs to be closer to goal, whereas the likes of Gamero, who's struggling with his confidence, although we haven't really seen him enough to say that this year, but obviously there's confidence issues, and there's form issues and fitness issues. He's kind of, get me away from goals. I prefer to be further away from goals. Whereas with Costa, it's like, no, get me in there, in the mixer, like, and Griezmann's the same. He's kind of, and it's almost like becomes a little bit of an excuse. It's like, oh, look at all the work I'm doing out here, and that this is what I'm offering now, as opposed to saying, no, look at, I'm not going to do any of that, but I guarantee you I'm going to score, and I'm going to have shots at goal.
Right.
And I understand that some of that is Simeone, but some of that is Gamero himself and Griezmann. Like, they need to kind of get closer to goal, but we haven't been seeing that.
I mean, you look at Griezmann's return this season, 3 goals in 9 games, it's not impressive. So one could easily say Griezmann's been horrible. But you look a little deeper, look at where he's getting his touches. Look at where he's touching the ball. And it's almost as if Simeone has set it up to where Griezmann needs to have just a moment of absolute genius to score, because he's trying to play 3 different positions. He's trying to play as your 7, your 9, and your 10. And when he doesn't do that, the entire attack collapses and you get results like this. It's a lot to ask of one player.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And I'm sure... And I often wonder, like, I mean, it's kind of like... There's so much money involved in these things that it's never a heat of the moment decision, but with Griezmann deciding to stay at the club, you'd wonder, is there an element of, it's like when you commit to do something in the heat of the moment and then it comes time to actually do it and you're kind of looking, going, why did I ever say that I'd do this? And you wonder, like, this is Griezmann looking around going, like, they got themselves into this situation where they couldn't sign players, and they broke the rules, and they were the ones that got themselves into the situation. And fair enough, I'm loyal, and that's what how I want to be, and I want to be perceived that way, and I owe it to Simeone. But he's looking going like, but I've got no help here. Like, I mean, when you look at Gaitán, showed some flashes yesterday, Gamero barely any, Carrasco, I just don't think that Carrasco has the mentality. I just don't see the connection between him and Simeone. Like, I used to see it with, like, you see it with Gabby and Simeone. It's almost like you don't even have to see them interact to know that they're kind of kindred spirits.
Yeah, same, you know, with Gabby, Godin, you know, Koke, those guys. Saul.
Yeah, like Koke. Yes, yeah, you just know by the way Saul carries himself and how he talks about the club and Simeone that they're kind of similar. Juan Fran as well. But with Carrasco, I just don't see it. Like, I can't imagine that they would kind of, and there's so many times that he hasn't thrown strops, we'll say, but he has kind of maybe grimaced, and he kind of maybe complained a little bit, like last night, like walking off the field really, really slowly at after 60 minutes or whatever it was, and it just kind of screamed to me like maybe he's looking going, I could be better in a better team here, you know, you're not giving me a chance to shine. And I just wonder, is there too many of those players? Not that, and I don't mean this in terms of Carrasco, but that the first team, the original Simeone Atletico that won the league, although that wasn't their, but we'll say the original successful one in the domestic league, they had those players and they were all on board and it was all going well. Whereas now it's kind of like been infected with kind of these different kind of characters, and there seems to be people upset, and they brought in players like Vieto, and he hasn't settled properly at all. Like, that's been absolutely dreadful. It's just been such a long drawn out thing that's inevitable what's going to happen with him leaving. And then you've got the likes of Carrasco, who never really fit in either, and you get all these players, and it's like you wonder the spark is gone, that feeling is gone, the zeitgeist is finished, is over, like, you know.
It speaks to a larger, I think, jarring lack of identity. Right now, there is a lack of identity at Atletico Madrid, and that is just crazy to say when this team is coached by someone like as charismatic and as emotional as Diego Simeone, but that's where we're at. There is no discernible style. There is no character. There is no flair. There's not really any identity. You don't watch Atletico and, you know, fear the worst anymore.
Yeah,
they're predictable.
Absolutely. And I think that's down to Simeone. Like, I mean, that's leadership. That's Simeone needs to kind of. And also, you've got Griezmann, who's. Okay, so relying on a mercurial talent is not a sustainable strategy, is I think the quote. But like, it's they're relying on Griezmann, and I'm not entirely sure if Griezmann has the personality to take on that role and to be that game changer. He's actually more suitable in a role just slightly out of focus, and that's when he's gonna and he'll turn the game for you then. With the likes of Diego Costa taking up all the headlines and taking all the attention away, and then Griezmann comes in and hurts you. But he's just not the kind of player who's going to identify, be the leader of the team, both in a leadership way, in a typical leadership way, and in a footballing way. I just don't think he's going to take the game on his shoulders and take it over, and he's not being given the chance to do it based on tactics, and he's also doesn't seem all that interested in doing it himself.
Yeah, so we can both agree that there's got to be a change here, right? There has to be, at some point, you have to just take the leap. You know, regardless of what happens, take the leap and try something new. We have a question from @shush_125. What formation do you think would suit Atletico best, and what do we do with Gabby, Godin, and Juanfran in terms of phasing them out? So I'll start with you. Where do Atletico need to start with kind of overhauling this? Because it's clear an overhaul is needed.
Yeah, I'd say, but see, this is the problem in that, okay, there's certain tactics that would work, but then you look at the personnel that's there and they just haven't taken the leap forward. And Atletico, financially, they cannot miss out on the top four. Like, so, it just screams that there's no trust with, and this comes back to the identity and the, like, what's, they've no character, and they've no there's no cohesion within. It's just a lack of trust. Simeone doesn't trust the players on the bench. He doesn't trust Correa, or he doesn't trust Vieto. He doesn't trust Gamero, clearly. He doesn't trust... He's got a weird relationship with Gaitán, but overall, I would say, he lacks trust in him more so than he has trust in him. So,
that's fair.
Like, so his starting 11 are we'll say set in stone as to who he trusts, but they're not doing it. And then he's got the guys on the bench who know that they weren't trusted, so they're sitting there going, yeah, but you didn't trust me to start, and now I'm expected to come on and do this, and I know I'm not gonna, and I could score two, and then I'll start the next day, but then the next day after that, I know exactly what's going to happen next. So we'll just say, like, I know Augusto has been injured, but I think he needs to get Augusto into the team, because as we've seen and as we've spoken about and written about, Koke is in, and I know Atletico missed him massively yesterday, but Koke is not the kind of player who can kind of cover that ground. He can cover the ground, but not as quickly maybe as someone with a little more length and a little bit more mobility than someone like Augusto, who can kind of move laterally and be that defensive midfielder, but also demand the ball from the back and start plays and deliver it forward. So I'd say getting Augusto into the team along with Koke and maybe Saul. So then you've got there's your three. I'd say 4-3-3.
Yeah.
And then up front you've got Correa has to start. He's turned himself into a starter. Griezmann and then Carrasco, but he doesn't start. He doesn't trust Carrasco to play a full 90 minutes, and you can see that that's playing on Carrasco's on his mind, being taken off, and he kind of starts getting jittery near the end, and he tries to kind of do a little bit too much to try and convince. It just screams at, and that also screams at a sense of predictable behavior from Simeone. Like, the players are starting to get too used to what he's going to do, and they know exactly what's going to happen, and no matter, say Vieto plays well for one game and he gets to start the next day, he's only going to play 60 minutes. These guys are confident, arrogant guys, want to play a full 90 minutes and they know that they're only going to play 60, and that can be discouraging for them, like massively discouraging for them. And I think that they can sense that, and they like. I think there's loads and loads of problems. They also don't have the personnel. Like, you look down the list at the bench, and they just don't have. Like, Fernando Torres is finished. Like, it's sad to say. Like, but he can't really offer anything anymore. Really and truly, he can't offer. He offers very, very little. Like, he can't. There was one stage he used to kind of be able to run it into the corners and let people get ahead of him, and he could deliver it or play it back and then go into the box. He can't even kind of do that anymore. He gets caught up and he's not playing frequently enough then to get any kind of sense of form or get the feel for the game and that's the same for a lot of the players. So it's kind of like the chicken and the egg. Like, I mean, which one is it? Is Vieto not playing because he's not good enough, or is he not playing well because he's not good enough, or is he not playing well because he's not getting enough games? And if he's not getting enough games, how are we ever going to know? But then if he's actually not good enough, I'm not to confuse myself there, but if you get what I mean, like,
yeah, I think the same problem is kind of cropping up in defense too, especially at right back. Juan Fran played all 90 minutes against Barcelona, but he doesn't even make the squad to go to Carabao. Shimi Versalico, I think there are trust issues there with Versalico. He's also had the injuries, the really annoying injuries that he picks up every other week, but I don't think Simeone trusts him to play regularly. Jose Jimenez has been in and out of the team despite his obvious talent. When you were talking about Augusto, I thought of Tomas. Tomas, it looked like he had all but clinched a spot in the starting 11. Then he had one not great game against Chelsea, and all of a sudden he's back on the bench.
It's almost forgotten about.
Yeah. And it's sad already because Tomas was so great the first few weeks, and now he's just kind of back to where he was last year. The rotations, Simeone needs to do the rotations, and he's doing them, but he hasn't found that perfect balance yet. I'm not sure he's going to, the way he's going.
Simeone is very, very similar to Mourinho, and but the thing about it is that Mourinho's at a club now that competes at the very top of the league, whereas Simeone is kind of caught in limbo, whereby if we'll say Mourinho was over a team like let's say Atletico, for example, where he can't buy that very, very top talent, but he's still playing the same style as he and he's still playing the same style as he is, it just ends up cancelling, it cancels itself out, and you've got like nil all draws against Leganés and Karabakh and things like that, where you know, and at some point you have to appreciate the fact that maybe Simeone has brought this team as far as he could, and it's a beautiful story, very romantic. He loves the club and he wants to stay there, but like, you have to accept the fact that maybe he's brought the club as far as they can, and he'll have to go away maybe and consider if he wants to become a top coach. He needs to figure out a way to set up an attack and know the players that he wants, because it seems like he doesn't even know what kind of players he needs in his system. Like, he's got a kind of a hodgepodge of a squad at the moment that, okay, he's got his you could pick out as a Diego Simeone centre half fairly, 9 times out of 10 you'd know. Left and right back, we know what he looks for in left and right back. Midfielders to an extent, but forwards, okay, his number 9 maybe, but does he like a 10, number 10, like where does he play? Griezmann is like, what kind of formation or attack does he kind of play, or what style does he like to play when he's going to be the dominant team? Like, on any given week, it could be anyone playing in there for Atletico Madrid at the moment, and I think he maybe needs to assess his ability as an attacking coach, or maybe lean a little bit heavier on the guys that he has there. Maybe Thiago could offer some advice. I don't know, but he needs to figure out a way to break teams down, and I know, but then it comes back to the fact that he doesn't have the players to do that, and he can't sign them now, so what's the point? But I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a bit unnerving to be asking these questions a month after Simeone has gone and signed a renewal to 2020. It's a little unnerving and uncomfortable to be asking those questions, but they have to be asked. I mean, there are problems here. Okay, we're coming up on a crisis. Okay, Atleti have 2 points through 3 weeks in the Champions League group stage. 538 number crunchers ran them again this morning, and they say Atleti are 68% 68% probability to finish third in the group. Atleti are more likely to finish third than Chelsea are to win the group. Chelsea, they rate at 59% to win the group. Atleti, 68% to finish third.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It felt... And you'd have to agree with that, obviously. But I'd say, it feels like Atletico this year got almost... It was almost like they were disbanded last summer with Griezmann leaving, and I'm sure there was other players considering it, like Oblak was being chased and things like that. And it just feels at the moment like they know that they were about to be disbanded. But they just came back for one last farewell tour, and it's just not what it once was. And I think a crisis mightn't be the worst thing for Atletico, in terms of, provided they don't get drop out of the top four and they can still compete in the league. But And if Simeone is going to stay around for another year, I think maybe a crisis might not be the worst thing at this year. Just have a down year for them, and then reboot because Simeone, they're clinging on to the past to an extent, and we see that with like Godin at the moment, and Godin is absolutely fine. He's not doing anything wrong, but he's not the player he was. He's not that commanding figure he once was, and say for example, even just like set pieces, we'll say Atletico have only scored one set piece this season, Jose Jimenez against Corona,
right? And the first week,
and they haven't, like, they got away from what made them really strong, but they never really adopted a new style. So they disbanded and forgot about one style, because in as I said earlier, they kind of had to, because there was teams sitting against them and not letting them just cancelling each other out. So they did have to change, but they haven't picked up a new strategy and a new style. So it's great to want
to change. It's great to want to evolve and move on from the old style, but you have to pick a new style in order to do that. And we're now, this is the third season in a row, basically, we're talking about Atletico getting involved in goalless draws against small teams they need to be pounding.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great to have the old style, and it's great to realize that you need to move on, but you need to have a plan to move on.
Exactly, yeah.
And they don't have that.
And like, his player development, I think, has been poor, and their recruitment has been poor. Like, I mean, you, and I suppose it was hard to foresee Gaitán being so poor, but like, Gamero, Diego Costa told them to wait for him, and they didn't, and then they went and got Gamero, who has been a disaster. Is maybe not a disaster, might be a little bit harsh, but he's been really poor so far. Matheus Krenovitter is gone, Santos Borre is gone, Vieto has been really poor after an absolutely stunning year with Villarreal. The year before they signed him, he tore Atletico to shreds on his own. Yeah. There's a whole like host of players who they've signed, and just let them move on without giving them a chance, and it just screams that the players that have stuck around that haven't been given chances, it's just a trust issue with Simeone. He doesn't trust them, like, and he's living in the past, we'll say.
At Kili Kazan on Twitter, is this the time for Simeone to bring on youth players like Juan Moreno and Katie Barre? Now, you know a little bit more about the B team than I do, but based on what we've been talking about with this season kind of veering toward, you know, rebuilding/transition season, I'd say yes. Why not? I mean, as long as you can keep that top four place in La Liga,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But it comes down to trust again, and I've seen
trust issue.
And I haven't actually been to an Atletico B game in a while, but the couple of games I did see, Balde wasn't really all that great, and I don't really know what they're gonna like. I mean, it's just gonna be throwing another two players into a team that has no style and no tactic, no discernible character and defining characteristics. So I mean, I think at the moment it doesn't really matter, like, until those pieces of the jigsaw, which are Diego Costa and Vitolo, arrive, and Simeone can kind of get back to the style that he played, and has a style that he wants, or that he knows he can win with, I think you're just going to be adding more they'd be more kind of dead wood, I suppose, if you want to say that. But I don't think that it would help the team, and I don't think it would particularly help them. Yeah, to get minutes in the senior team is going to bring them on. Like, but it's just not going to. It's just, I don't think it's going to really help the team for now, and it's not going to help them as footballers.
A little bit more from this game on Wednesday. Atletico completed 4 of 21 crosses. Felipe Luis and Jaime Vercellico combined to go 0-9 on their crosses. That's not good enough. And Atleti are already having enough problems winning the ball in the air. You can't win the ball in defense. You can't win it in attack through the air.
And I wrote this as one of my three keys to the game. Atleti had to control the aerial game, and the aerial duels were about even.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, yeah, but I mean, like, if you were to look at Atletico's lineup, you wouldn't really expect anything else. Like, I don't think the only way you can envision players in certain situations, like, say, Saul taking a free kick and whatever, I can't envision Gamero going up and winning a header. Like, right. I just can't. I mean, Griezmann, don't have that in my head.
Griezmann can. I mean, Torres can, but Torres is, at this point, not really...
You
can't justify that. You have Godin and Jimenez at the back, they can win, they can win headers. Saul can, Gabby can,
and so, sorry, Jeremy, just,
yeah, sure,
but they're all kind of dependent on each other, and they're all feeding into that one larger problem. So I mean, and that's why it's frustrating, I suppose, is because they're not isolated issues. Like, say, for example, the left back is too slow, or the you've no striker, that'll be fine, but it's the whole dynamic is just wrong at the moment, and each of them are as important as the next, and it's just a house built on, and the there's 8 or 10 beams on the foundation that are just not sitting right at the moment.
And
that's why we keep repeating ourselves, and that's because they all feed into each other. Like,
and when you have players playing as desperately as Atleti are right now, it just makes those problems all the more worse. They've scored one goal in the last 4 games away in the Champions League since they put up 4 at Leverkusen in February. They've won just 1 out of the last 6 away in the Champions League.
So even we'll say, see, this is the problem with having a team like quarterback, where if you were a weaker team, which Atletico aren't considered because they've been to 2 Champions League finals in the last 3 years. But if you were a weaker team, we'll say, not a weaker team, say Sevilla, if they weren't as attacking as they are, and they had a template as to how they played away from home, that'd be fine. But Atletico were expected to go to Carabao and win. If he had a tactic, and this is the way he was playing, I'd say fine, but he's not even doing that. Like, you know what I mean? It's changing from one week to the next.
Yeah. Guess the big question now is, the first time we've had to ask this in the Simeone era, do you think Atletico are going to qualify? Because I don't. They had to beat Carabao, and they didn't. And now the math is in their favor. I think Luis Aznar from Marca tweeted this yesterday. The math may be in their favor, but look at the way they're playing, and it tells another story.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I often do that when I'm kind of like, oh no, well, if they win their next 10 games,
right.
But they're not playing well enough to even win 6 of those. So in an ideally, of course they can't. But if this continues over the next couple of weeks before Vitolo and Diego Costa arrive, they're going to be gone at that stage. So, do Roma have to go to Carabao? Yeah.
No, they've already been. Carabao will come to Rome on the final match day.
And then Chelsea have to go to.
Chelsea still have to go there.
I'm not entirely sure what Chelsea are made up of this year, and by the looks and the sounds of things, it's not going great for Conte, and that could all fall apart. But like you said, I mean, in order for them to take advantage of a Chelsea team falling apart, they'd have to be playing
But
listen, like Felipe Luis was right. Atletico do respond, and they are liable to go on a 10-game streak now, where they get a couple of goals and kind of almost like a false sense of hope. It wouldn't be false because it's actually happening, but and maybe they can sustain it until January, when the Costa and Vitolo arrive. But they will fall back into that trap again of Costa in a big game reverting back to the players who then they'll do well, get a draw against Real Madrid, and all of a sudden for the next 6 games after that, Gabby will start, and it'll be very, and it, like, but Diego, that game against Real Madrid is a completely different thing to going and playing Getafe at home. Like, do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So yeah, they could, they're liable to go on a run now and win 10 games in a row. Like, they have that kind of talent within the squad, I think. Once it's played, they're playing right and their feeling's good and their confidence is up and the trust issues are kind of aren't to the fore. But after those 10 games, it'll be back to kind of, okay, now we're going well, let's protect this and let's revert back to who we once were. And that's when it starts getting kind of, they stop scoring, they stop creating chances, they stop winning, they start drawing as opposed to winning. And all of a sudden, it's not, oh, well, they're not losing. Yeah, but they're drawing. They've drawn four in a row now, you know. So it's just a matter of Simeone trusting the players and sticking with an attacking formation, whether for better or worse, I suppose.
Let's talk about Celta briefly, and then we'll wrap it up. Celta scoring a lot of goals this season. They put 5 past Las Palmas, although that's not hard to do. Atletico have done it this season. Iago Aspas got his first 3 goals of the year. Pione Sistos been playing incredibly well. Maxi Gomez has 5 goals. It's at Balaidos. Could be a toughie. I mean, Celta are playing well under Unzué.
Yeah, they are. But I don't really... I'm not entirely sure as to whether they have the kind of backbone to beat an Atletico Madrid side, especially in Unzué's first year. And I watched them against Corona, and it was one of the best games of the year.
Fantastic.
It was absolutely fascinating stuff, brilliant to watch. No small part down to Pablo Machin's style and his willingness to go for it. It was lashing rain that day, so it made it a little bit more fun, I suppose. But this is the kind of game that actually suits Atletico, because Celta Vigo will be thinking to themselves, oh, we'll go out and take advantage of Atletico's vulnerability. Atletico will sit back, it'll get a little bit like a dog fight, and they'll open themselves up, and Atletico might score 2 or 3 against them, and that inferiority complex will come back. Celta have an inferiority complex, but they'll kind of start feeling like, oh no, Atletico are going to hurt us here, and they could get 2 or 3 goals, and that'll be the end of that. But no, I'd say Atletico will win that one, but I think it might be just papering over the cracks again.
Possibly. Yeah, I think if there's any result that's going to light a fire, that could light a fire under this team, it's got to be the result in the land of fire. Celta averaging over 55% possession this season. That's one of the top 5 marks in La Liga. So you're right, this is a game that very much suits Atleti counterattacking. Celta have also shipped a lot of goals this season. And in spite of scoring a lot, they've also shipped a lot. So this could be a game where Atleti could not just score 1 goal, but maybe 2, and that would be just out of this world. It'd be revolutionary.
Yeah. Oh my God, can you imagine?
Can you imagine? There'll be a front page of ads on Monday. Atletico scoring twice.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they will win this. I think they will win this, and I think it will be 2-1.
Yeah. I'm just looking, Celta Vigo. I think Atletico's, if I'm not mistaken, I think in Balaidos, they bet them 4-0. Was it 4-0
last
year?
4-0 last year and 2-0 the year before in 15-16.
Yeah, I think Atletico just happened. Like I was saying, like, you kind of envision players doing things, and then you envision, you have these teams that Atletico, I just can never see them being troubled by Celta Vigo for some reason. It just doesn't seem. And under Unzué, I'm not entirely convinced of Unzué either. He's got a particular style, and it's good and it's attractive, but I'm not entirely sure that they have the backbone to hurt Atletico Madrid.
We'll see what happens. It seems to be a decent situation for Atleti here. The one year Celta really did trouble Atleti was 14-15, when they drew 2-2 at the Calderon and then won 2-0 at Balaidos.
Oh, yeah,
in the last 2 years, so Atleti had gone there and won. Last 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see if that continues on Sunday. 7:15 my time. I'll be getting up early on Sunday.
3:15 here. So 2:15 the UK.
Yeah, nice afternoon game. Lucky you.
Yeah.
Time zones. All right, man. What else you got? Anything?
No, that's pretty much it. That's it. Just been trying to promote my book and things like that. So once that's over in the next couple of weeks, now I'll be back to. We've got Villarreal, I think, at the Wanda at the end of the month, and other than that, that's about all.
Splendid. Well, let's put a bookmark there. I'll do the sign off message. That's Robbie Dunn. You can follow him on Twitter at Robbie J Dunn. And if you're stateside, look for Working Class Heroes at the start of 2018. No coincidence that as Vitolo and Costa join, Working Class Heroes come stateside. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Barron, JBBEREN. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can subscribe and listen to Colchonero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform, including iTunes. If you subscribe on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. Really gets more eyes and ears on the program. And also, Robbie, did you know Colchonero Chat now has a Patreon page?
I did, actually. Yeah, I was looking at the other.
Yes, we are hopping on Patreon. So patreon.com/Colchonero Chat is the place to be if you are interested in contributing to the show, getting some pretty awesome benefits, including early access to select episodes of Colchonero Chat, behind-the-scenes photos of the podcasting process, and so on and so forth. If you want to learn more, patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. We'll be back next week to talk about Atleti and Celta. Until then, adios.